Hey friends, thanks for joining us for the Messiah's Misfits podcast. No matter where you are in your walk of faith, this podcast is to help you grow and to learn. I'm Mary Ventures, and I'm joined with my friends Randall and Josh Newby.
Greetings.
Hello.
Hey, how are y'all?
We're blessed.
Yes.
And highly favored.
And highly favored.
There you go.
Highly
Don't leave favored. That part out. That's right.
God is good.
Well, our last podcast, I want to bring this up. You know, the Book of Ruth is there's only one other female, book of the Bible named after another female, which is Esther. But I have a list of things I'm going to talk to God about, and that's one of them.
I believe it.
Why isn't there a Mary?
Wow.
The Book of Mary.
Well.
Wow. And I'm not talking about me, even though it sounded like it. I'm talking about the other great Marys.
I'm not going there.
I know. Just pray for me. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, in last
week, we love you, Mary.
Thank you. You either like love me or not like me at all. But last week's episode, we talked about the Book of Ruth, and we were talking about righteousness, faithfulness, integrity, and all those things, and
kindness.
Yes, and how God had led, you know, because Ruth had said, "I'm going to follow you, Amen. Naomi." And wherever you go, I'm going.
That's one of the greatest decisions.
Oh yeah.
That's one of the greatest scriptures in the whole Bible, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it really is.
When she made that statement, wow.
And she stood by it.
She stood by.
That's right.
Yes, she did.
She didn't get scared and run.
But she was steadfast.
But then it, you know, and then we met Boaz, or Ruth met Boaz. And I think she was a bit smitten, and I think he was too. So there was a wooing taking place. And for you yonkers that don't know what that means, they were courting a little bit, or dating, however you want to say it, pre-dating. But they liked each other, from what I'm gleaning here. And
it was one of those things that God was kind of putting it together.
Right.
He was kind of. That's one thing. When you come to Christ, allow Him to start working in your life.
Right.
Allow Him to start directing, and the Holy Spirit guiding you through life. And man, He'll make so much things so much easier for us along the journey.
Oh yeah, yeah, He does. And if we just stay there, we're good.
Yeah.
You know. But sometimes we don't do that. I mean, I'm not talking about me, but. Now, I'm not going to say that because I don't want lightning to come in this room. But so we're going to start at chapter 3 because we finished 1 and 2, and it was wonderful. We had a great lesson.
It was. Yes.
And as we know, there's only 4 chapters in the Book of Ruth, so we are on chapter 3. And where we're going to pick up is then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maiden thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." So she's telling him where he can be located.
Well, what she's saying there in verse 1 is, she says, "Ruth, let me start seeking for you a little bit more permanent home.
Let me do some matchmaking, honey. Yes.
Let me start looking for you a little bit more permanent home right here and a little bit better life for you."
Yes, yes.
That's what she was saying.
She was. And then she said, "Let me tell you where to find you." Okay, follow my instructions to the T here. She says, "Wash," and she gives specific instructions, okay? Verse 3 says, "Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down," because who knows? I mean, let's talk about, I mean, he could have, you know how people, when they get hungry, they need a Snickers. So he might have been hangry, you know, so she's saying, now don't bother him when he's eating his good meal.
While he's eating and drinking, you prepare yourself.
Yeah, go get pretty.
Put some perfume on. Put some perfume on here, and you take care of yourself.
Right.
While he's overeating, you get yourself.
You get ready.
Get yourself prepared. That's good stuff.
It is. It is. It's like she knew what she was doing. "And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do."
Now, let me just pause right here. I'm going to interject this because, as I've said before,
mm-hmm.
when you read the book of Ruth, mm-hmm. you have to read it as the types and shadows of Boaz being a type of Christ. And now you're going to see in this particular chapter that Ruth is a picture of the church.
Mm-hmm.
This is the light of how this plays out. It's a picture of the Christ and the bride, which is the church. Boaz and Ruth coming together here. And in this particular verse here in verse 4, notice how there's lying and she's at his feet.
Mm-hmm.
This right here is a picture of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
This is a picture of the cross right here.
Right.
So you're starting to see it, starting to unfold and unveil the. We're talking about the physical side, but in 3 and 4 you start looking more of the spiritual
right.
aspect, the spiritual side. So in verse 4 you start, but she said, lay at his feet.
Mm-hmm.
You start to see a picture of the cross starting right. to come out right there.
Well, and what I was thinking is Naomi had a way different idea because my mom would have never said, go in and lay at his feet.
Well, that's how we come to Christ.
Exactly.
We come to Christ at his feet.
Exactly. And that's why that's that representation.
Yes. This is the symbolic of yes. that right here. This moves from the sexual
mm-hmm.
pervertedness.
Right.
This is moving exactly. into the spiritual realm of mm-hmm. who the church is with Christ.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Beautiful picture.
Kneel at his feet.
Absolutely.
Yes. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down unto the floor. Now, that's perfect obedience.
Yes.
She's being perfectly obedient yes. here. She went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid herself down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. So she's saying, will you pick this up? My other kinsman wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know. Well, yeah. We haven't got that far yet. But and he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shewed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou required, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman.
Now, before we go further here,
mm-hmm.
we see Ruth is kind of starting to push the envelope.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one that's kind of taking charge now.
Right.
Naomi's instructed her what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So now Ruth is now one who's really starting to discreetly propose the levirate responsibility upon Boaz.
Right.
And what we talk about the levirate is what we would call the levirate marriage.
Mm-hmm.
If a man died and had no children, then his brother was to take the widow and to have a child with her in thy brother's name, mm-hmm. or in order to continue the family line,
yeah.
that is to preserve the family lineage, mm-hmm. preserve the family name,
right.
or preserve any inheritance that might be coming.
Right.
So that's what Ruth here is discreetly proposing to Boaz to see if he will pick that up, as you said, as you stated,
mm-hmm.
and take up that role
right.
as being her next kinsman to have this marriage.
Right. But I also like what Boaz is fixing to do because he is a gentleman.
Yes.
He has integrity. He's not going to step on anybody's toes to get what he wants. So he says in verse 12, he says, And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I.
Well, look in 11 too there.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I will do to thee all that thou requirest.
Right.
He was saying in verse 11 and 12, I will take the responsibility.
Right.
She presented it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, okay.
I'll take care of it.
Yeah. And that's just a picture of Christ. When we come to him with our request, we come to him with our petitions,
yes.
we can count on God taking the responsibility.
Absolutely.
To, my Lord.
All of it.
We can, my Lord, that's good stuff.
Yes.
We can trust God that He will take the necessary responsibility to provide our needs. He's given us the promises, and He will see that they're fulfilled.
Right. When we step out in faith.
Yes.
She stepped out in faith.
Boldness. And, that was bold faith.
Right. Because if she would have just said, I'm not going in there.
Yeah.
You know, but she was obedient.
She boldly came to the throne of grace.
Yes,
He'd already given her grace. She'd already knew that He was a
and
grace
favor.
Giver.
Mm-hmm.
He already knew that she was showed Him kindness, and she was building on that, and she was banking on it.
Right.
Okay, He's kind to me. He showed me favor. He showed me grace.
Right.
I'm going to take a little bit of step further this time.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. That's right. And she was all prettied up, too. That helped. So, in 13 it says, tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, we'll let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. Yes. So go back to sleep. Just, I got this.
Just rest.
Mm-hmm. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into this floor. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. So here's a little bonus. I'll give you a little bonus to leave it.
Like,
parting gift.
Okay, here's a little bit of incentive here.
Yeah,
here's
Let me grease the wheel just a little bit more.
Yeah.
So, and when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. So do you think he kind of knew that she was the instigator?
He knew what his responsibility was.
Yes, he did.
He knew the family he was getting. He had heard of who Naomi was.
Yes.
He had seen how Ruth was, how she had responded and taken care of Ruth. And he knows what he's getting here. And he said, I want you to just – and that's how God takes it. He's not only takes care of us personally, but he takes care of those people that mean something to us in our life.
Oh, yeah.
People that we care about.
Absolutely.
God cares about.
Oh, yes.
And so we're seeing here really the picture of Christ unveiling how he just cares for our people.
Right.
Cares for our family.
Well, and in this next one, I can, or you know, when she came into her mother-in-law, I can just see her excitement.
Oh, you know she's glowing.
Oh, this went so well. And look what all I got. And, he gave me more.
And you know Naomi said over just like.
Yeah, I knew it, honey.
Yeah.
He's a good man. I know him. Yeah.
I knew it was going to work out.
And then in 18, he says, then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. So she was excited.
And that's how we are with Christ.
Yes. She's like, sit down, you're getting on my nerves. This is working out.
When we come to Christ and Christ starts revealing himself to us, we do get excited.
Oh, absolutely.
When we start feeling his love, we start feeling his generosity and his kindness, it gets us
it
excited.
Is. It is.
We just get all warm and fuzzy all over.
And if you don't, your wood's wet.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I mean, love this story. Love
it. It is a wonderful. I love it. So now we're going into chapter four. And it says, then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, ho, such a one. So come here.
Now notice here now.
Mm-hmm.
Notice who's taking the lead now.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because now he's all fired up.
It's been Naomi.
Yes.
It's been Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
But now look who's taking the lead.
Yes.
He's stepping up. Boaz then went Boaz up to the gate and sat down beside to behold the kinsman. So now he's starting to take the next direction. So what we're seeing now is that Ruth has made her petitions.
Mm-hmm.
She's made the proposal.
Right.
And now in this chapter here, we're starting to seeing the what we would call the redemptive work.
Right.
Which is the redemption part right here. This
is
the beautiful part of this is the climax of the whole. Oh, carry on.
Right. Well, and you know, now he knows how she feels about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that helps. So in verse 2 says, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down.
Witnesses.
Yes. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, but buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it.
Yes. Wow.
He said, if you don't want her, I'll take her, is yes. basically what he was saying right there.
Yeah. Wow.
Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth,
yes.
the Moabitess. So he's yes. saying, you're not just getting one, you're going to get
well,
two.
It goes right back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. Where you go,
I'll go. Where that's you right.
lodge, it goes right back to that statement. Mm-hmm. This whole book is built on those two verses.
But I kind of feel like Boaz is saying, now listen, you don't want to take this on, okay? Because you got two more mouths to feed, brother, and take care of.
Right.
So.
And this ain't cheap.
Yeah, so let me
this
do it.
This ain't cheap.
Yeah.
This is the real deal.
Yeah, this is going to be expensive.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So let me, if you don't want to, just know I'll do this for you.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so it also of the Ruth Moabites. Where am I at here?
Five.
Then said Boaz, "What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance."
Yes.
And the kinsman said, "I cannot redeem it for myself."
Now let me pause here just for a second. This kinsman, his name is never mentioned.
No.
He just referred to as the kinsman.
Right.
I just want to make that note.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be significant.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go on, carry
That's on. Right. I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Right. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. I think he might already had a mean wife. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, as we talked about earlier,
mm-hmm.
You know, there was a famine in the land yes. earlier, 10 years prior.
Right.
And so he may not could have afforded
right.
to take on any more of the, you know, it's sometimes if we take on more, we start neglecting what we've already
right.
got, and it can start thorns and thistles and briars.
Exactly.
And it can start diminishing.
Who knows how many wives he had?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, or children or whatever.
What kind of things he already had going on.
Right.
It was probably just too much for him to take on any extra. I mean,
exactly.
I had the help, the hands, the servants to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he just didn't have the means to do
to
that,
support
which is
her.
Which is coming to light here in verse 7.
Yes, it is. Now, this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. So this was part of the, you know, the courtroom or whatever you want right. to say it. Okay. So therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe.
That and, would seal the deal.
Yes, it did.
That was sealing the deal. And we go ahead.
And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi.
Wow.
He said, it all belongs to me now.
Whoa, preach on.
Yeah.
Preach
he
on,
said, I want
on.
All of them.
Wow.
And that's what God said.
This is the picture of mm-hmm. Christ. In the fullness
mm-hmm.
right here. This
Absolutely.
Is where the ransom has been
and paid.
Uh-huh. The ransom in his blood. The Bible says that we have been ransomed, redeemed by his blood.
Mm-hmm. Bought by with a price.
Oh,
yes.
We see it right here. I mean, this is a beautiful picture of Christ redeeming the church, buying us paid in full.
Oh, yeah.
Because the other kingdom said, I can't do it.
Mm-mm.
We can't do it.
No, nobody
There's nobody
could.
Else. There is Mm-mm. nobody else that can pay our debt. Only Christ, the sinless Lamb of
right.
God, could come in and redeem a people
That's right.
who had nothing.
No.
Naomi didn't have nothing.
Mm-mm.
Ruth didn't have nothing.
No,
but Boaz had the means,
yes.
had the resources, had the desire,
yes.
had the love, had the want to, had the kindness, had the wealth, had the goodness.
But isn't it funny how how they ran into him first?
The orchestration of God, the Holy Ghost.
That was God's plan
all
right
along.
There.
If we'll trust God, He'll lead us and guide us through.
Absolutely.
It's God's will.
It is.
It's God's will us to be blessed and prosperous in our life.
Yes.
And God has appointments for us. God has journeys for us. God has desires and delightments in our path, in our future.
Mm-hmm.
If we'll just follow Him, He will order our steps, order our words, and bring us to the fact here. Read verse 10.
Okay. Just sit still, like she said. Okay. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, I have purchased to be my wife raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance.
Mercy.
That the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day.
Wow.
You heard my words.
I have purchased to be my wife.
That's right.
Christ purchased us.
Mm-hmm.
We've been purchased. We were bought.
And we weren't worth nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing, but He loves us.
But He loved us enough to say, I'm going to purchase you.
Yeah,
I'm going to pay your debt. I'm going to give my life a ransom for you. Oh, my Lord.
Well, and, there's people out there thinking, I'm not worthy to go go into a church or do this or that. You are just as it's your church.
Right,
it's
here.
Your place.
This is how we come.
You come busting up in a church like you own it.
Yeah.
Because you do, because God's your Father as well as He is anybody else's.
This is how we come.
That's right.
We just come.
Yes.
As you are.
That's
right. You come and you let Boaz, you let Christ
take care of it all.
Oh, let Him take care of the redeeming side.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Ooh, make you shout.
Yes. He'll clean you up, straighten you out. That's right.
Glory.
Or at least He tries. Some of us He has to work extra hard on, but anyway.
he knew what he was getting when he got you married.
He did.
And he still accepted
you. I know, right? It's a miracle. No, verse 11 says, and all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah. So they're saying, I hope she's just like these two.
Yeah.
Which two did build the house of Israel, even though they don't have books of the Bible named after him. I just want to throw that in there. And do thou worthily in Ephrath and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah of the seed, which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman.
Yes.
So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Immediately. Wow.
Yes.
And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. Yes.
Now go back.
Yes.
In 14 and 15.
Uh-huh.
And the women, and the women that was around Naomi.
Yeah.
They said, Naomi, you are blessed to be the
Absolutely.
Lord, which hath not left thee dead. Well, I can't, that name, it said, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. Now, if we remember, when we go back into verse 1, Naomi come back and she said, I'm bitter.
Uh-huh.
I'm bitter.
Yeah.
I'm home, I'm empty. I've got nothing, and I'm distressed. I've got nothing.
Yeah, change
I'm poor,
my
I'm
name.
Afflicted.
Mm-hmm.
Just change my name.
Mm-hmm.
But look how
God turned it around. And in 16, in 16 says, and Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it.
Oh, hallelujah!
All that pain and suffering and
hurt.
Yep.
God restored, gave her a new beginning, gave her a new outlook.
Whew.
God takes away the pain. God takes away the past, and He restores us.
Yes.
He gives us new life. Wow.
Yes.
Because we have a Redeemer.
That's right.
We've been redeemed from the curse. We've been redeemed from the wrath of God. We've been redeemed and
Absolutely.
Set free.
And you want to remember that, Naomi had no children.
Mm-mm.
So what Boaz or Christ did gave her everything.
The desires of her heart.
Yes. Amen.
Wow.
So in 17, it says, and the woman her and the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi, and they call his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." And we're talking about King David right there.
Hallelujah.
So,
praise
be
to God. Praise be to God.
And he said earlier, he said, he will be famous or renowned in Israel. And they don't, I mean, is there anybody that don't know who King David is? I mean, come
He's
on.
The man.
He is the man. So, I mean, there was a great lineage that came out of this terrible
Kings.
Tragedy.
Kings.
Yes. Yes.
Kings.
Kings. Good. I mean, the best kings. David had the heart of God. He was the apple of God's eye.
Yes.
I mean, that's impressive.
And, you know, this right here is just a picture of how God can take that which is broken.
Yes.
And turn it around
Absolutely.
For his glory, his purpose.
And he didn't put it back together. That, you know, sometimes our brokenness.
Well, we think it ought to be put together this direction.
Exactly.
But if we'll just let God work, he's the potter.
Come on now.
He's the architect.
That's right.
He's the artist.
Yes.
And this right here is just God, how God just puts things together,
yes.
puts people together, relationships together.
Yes.
And this is where we see God really working and believing in this and trusting the Lord here to see this. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Absolute phenomenal story. Phenomenal.
And I mean, it was so, it was such a, it made it in the book. You know?
It did.
It did. And it's a moving story, but it's, there's so much symbolism in it, pointing towards Christ and the love that he, and you brought this out, the love that he has for us and all the things. He wants to give you all the things, people. He wants to bless us with all the things.
Now isn't it obvious? Isn't it something? We talked about some of these people's names, what they all meant. When you look at Obed, what his name means servant of God.
Wow.
Because they served
They did.
God.
They did.
Well, they go right back. Goes right back. He said, "Your people be my people, and thy God my God."
Right.
And they served God.
Yes.
And so, therefore, we see that in the evidence in the fruit of their love. That was the fruit of their love.
Sure.
They had a son, and he's known as the servant of God.
And also the grandfather of King David.
There you are.
He did. You know, I mean, they were blessed, and they were. This is being blessed and highly favored. You know, when you have God's favor in your life, nobody can stop you.
Nothing.
You will accomplish everything you've set out to do.
Yes.
Don't take your eyes off of him, and don't stop trusting in him.
That's it. That's it.
You got to hold on.
She made that decision.
Mm-hmm.
She steadfastly,
yes.
steadfastly made that decision.
Yes.
To go with her.
She was righteous.
Yes.
She was faithful. And she had great integrity.
Yep. She was faithful and true, and her reputation is...
Yes.
Without blemish.
Right, and her obedience.
And that's what Christ does with us. You know, we can see that when you look in the Ephesians, when you start talking about Christ and his church, there in Ephesians, the fifth chapter of Ephesians... It says, "For Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it, he may cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that he should be holy and without blemish. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own self, but nourisheth it and cherishes it, even as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones."
Ooh.
This is the great mystery, but speaking of Christ and the church. What the finishing touch.
Oh, yeah.
The finishing touch.
That's the frosting on the top.
Right there.
Mm.
Just right there. Man, wow, beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful love story. Beautiful
it really
love
is
story.
Because they honored one another.
They did.
They did.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow, wow. Well, I'm glad you picked that topic.
Hey, it was a good one.
That is.
I don't know which one of us picked it, but it's a good one. I mean, you know, I'll take credit, whatever. See why the Lord has to work
that's,
on me, Dexter.
But that's how God can take relationships yes. and put them together and
oh yeah,
trusting the Lord in something, mm-hmm. something beautiful.
He is a life changer. He will move heaven and earth for you.
Yes.
He loves us that much.
Wow. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Wow. Let's pray.
Yes, let us pray.
Oh, Heavenly Father, yes, Lord, we just want to honor you.
Yes.
Lord, we want to honor you, Lord, and we want to cherish our relationship with you, Lord, as you have been so good, so kind. Lord, you have ministered to us in ways beyond our wildest imaginations or our dreams. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you bring us joy, you bring us peace, you bring us the desires of our heart when we trust in you and we wait upon you and we serve you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for this beautiful picture, Lord, of the cross, the beautiful picture, Lord, of the redemptive work of Jesus, how he gave his life when he said, "No man taketh my life, but I freely lay it down." Lord, I thank you that you've become the bread of life. Lord, we thank you that you're the living water. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, and you are the head of the church. Yes. Father, we thank you that we are the bride today. We're the bride of Christ. Lord, and you're going to present us. You're taking us home to the Father. Lord, to present us without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. Father, we thank you for the precious blood of Calvary, Lord, that has cleansed us, that has washed us, Lord, that has restored us as you did Naomi. Lord, you took a woman that was bitter, a woman that was empty, yes, Lord, and you brought her to a place, Lord, of grace. Yes. You brought her to a place, Lord, of promotion and advancement, Lord, as well as Ruth. Father, we just rejoice in that today, Lord. Lord, help us to see ourselves in the same scenario. Father, in this same cameo, Father, we love you. We praise you. Bless our audience tonight, Lord. Bless our audience, Lord. Those who hear this, Lord, help them to look up, Lord, because their redemption draweth nigh. Lord, we love you and we thank you for another beautiful podcast. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, there's nothing like being a born-again child of the Most High God.
Amen. Amen.
And I am thankful and blessed to be one. And thank you all for joining us. This has been a great study, and we've really enjoyed these last two podcasts. So we want to say thanks for listening to us, to the Messiah's Misfits. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening today so you don't miss an episode. It would also mean a lot if you took the time to give us a review so others can find our podcast and we can continue to serve and to teach.
The Messiah's Misfits podcast is a ministry of Yale Assembly where our mission is to build kingdom people. To find out more about Yale Assembly and our other ministries, you can go to yaleassembly.org.